Now, don't get excited too much, but open your Bibles to the book of Revelations. Now, don't get too excited. We're just going to look at one little passage, chapter 1. Revelations, chapter 1. Put in a marker in Ephesians, chapter 2. Hebrews, chapter 3. And we'll see from there. Probably Genesis, chapter 1. I was exhorting Sunday night about the leadership of the Spirit. I think we call that message, He Directs Our Steps. I recommend it to you. And one of the things I said is, don't forget the ministry of the Holy Spirit in visions and dreams. I remember Yongji Cho, who built the biggest, at least at that time, it was the biggest church on earth in Seoul, Korea. He said that his experience was that the language of the Holy Spirit was visions and dreams. He likes to communicate that way with pictures. So I taught on that Sunday night and said, now you ought to get in the habit now of keeping writing material by your bed and a pen in case the Lord shares with you something in a dream. When you wake up, you don't want to lose that. Because usually what will happen, if you're going to capture it, it's right when you first wake up because the day gets busy quickly. And later on you'll be going, now what was that I dreamed, you know? Well, you know, you preach it and then you live it. Monday I was talking to a friend in Florida that said that the Lord had been having him re-listen to a message I did, which is still at the website, by the way, in the archive section. And the title of that message is The Mechanism of Dominion. And he said, so I said, well, maybe I ought to listen to it myself, you know. So I did. I listened to it. And then last night, I had a dream about the teaching in that lesson. And the Holy Spirit began weaving it together with some other teachings. And I began seeing some things in a light I've never seen before. So how many of you believe the first thing I did when I got up this morning? I did. I did real good. I did my own preaching. I recorded that rascal. Here we go. And I've got so much on it, I don't think we'll near get finished tonight. I don't know what I'm going to call it either. But it's along this line. Did you find Revelations chapter 1? Let's look at starting in verse 4. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. I don't know about, I could have church right there. Just him, from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, before we go any further, isn't that talking about us? That's our dispensation. That's the generation that we belong to. This is the church age. We are the ones that he has washed with his own blood. So this is talking about us. Now, notice. And hath made us, notice past tense, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, we teach on dominion from time to time. I know I've taught on it several times. Dave has taught on it. But it seems like we emphasize more the priestly side of what he has made us than we do the kingly side. Can I say it that way? We teach more about prayer. These have most to do with the priestly side of things. Prayer, meditation of the word, fasting, worship. Most of these things have, and we need those things. We are priests unto God. Even calling in the lost, one of the highest priestly functions with some king overtones. is when you begin using the authority of a king and couple that with your priestly anointing and start casting the net over the lost and taking that dominion in the spirit and loosing heaven to go after them. But that's not exactly where we're going tonight. But tonight, and maybe for a while, he's wanting to talk to us and teach us more about the facet of our kingship. Now, turn to somebody and say this: he has made me a priest, and he has made me a king. That means, I'll say it out loud, that means if I'm a king, I've got dominion somewhere. Right now I'm thinking about that example that Dave used to teach about prayer. You know, the guy who heard the message and he was going to pray, and the devil came to stop him. So the devil loosed a big boulder, the giant boulder that rolled down from the mountain, rolled right through the guy's house, broke his leg, went all the way through the house, smashed his car. The guy's so beat up, it broke his legs and his arms, and the only thing he has that works is his left earlobe. And he's using that left earlobe to drag himself to church so he could pray. You know? Have you ever felt like that? Like, sure, I've got dominion. Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen my circumstances? Have you seen what all's been going on? I mean, I'm just glad I'm saved. I'm just trying to make heaven now. And yet the same Bible, it says we're a priest. It says we're a king. Now, you know, we were in Ephesians all of last year. If you want to see our kingship, it's really in Ephesians. So go there next. Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah, let's back up just a little bit. Paul was praying for the Ephesians, which he would also pray for us. This prayer starting in verse 17 of chapter 1. He prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now notice particularly verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Now he's going to try and describe this power to usward, but because it so talks about Jesus, we always read it as his power to himward. But look what it says. He says, I want you to have a revelation of his exceeding great power to you. How great is that power to usward? Now, it's according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. But remember now, I'm talking about his power to youward. But it's according to that power that when he raised Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Wow, that's some power. That's some authority. Far above. And we don't have a problem seeing Jesus seated right there. Far above all power, all principality and power and might and dominion. Here's that word dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Something in our thinker, something in our meditator, when we read that, only thinks about Jesus. And he's really trying to describe God's power to you. How strong what is his power to you? What has he done for your kingship? Now we see Jesus. He said it's according to that same power when he raised him and set him at his own right hand. Boy, that's the place of ultimate authority above every name that is named. And we've done this before, but come on down into chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, now notice, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right there is your kingship. You mean I am seated, as far as God's concerned, at the highest place of authority? I usually say in the universe, but there may be universes. I don't know. The highest place of authority that there is, if you're seated at the right hand of God. That sounds like a pretty good kingship to me. Yeah, but did you see the boulder that rolled through my house? Have you seen the car I drive? Have you seen? What is the problem then? If he's given me this kingship, you know, with a king comes dominion, doesn't it? Otherwise, it's kind of a useless kingship if there's no dominion. Have you seen my lack of dominion? Actually, I have, because I've seen mine too. What is causing that? Now go to Hebrews 3 and I'll show you what's causing it. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice. That's a big if. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me. Now notice, saw my works. That's important. They saw my works 40 years. See, the reason it's important, I didn't look it up, but there's Psalms that says God revealed his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. That ways is important. You're going to find out here in a minute. It's real important to know God's ways, not just his acts. Well, you know the story. You've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, and all the miracles that happened, the water coming out of the rock, and even after they left Egypt, all of the things that happened. Through whom did those miracles come? Did it just come through every little Israelite that was out there? They came through one, Moses. And he was the one that knew God's ways. Now notice this. Your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. They have not known my ways. And just so you'll know that the writer of Hebrews is really talking to us. He says, so I swore in my wrath. Okay, now I don't want to get ahead. I hear him slow down. Now listen. Well, we're hard on that bunch, aren't we? You know? Well, they came right up to the promised land and they didn't enter in because of their unbelief. You know what it's about to say. Boy, you know, well, let's see now. They had, for 400 years, they had been slaves with no dominion whatsoever. They had been in captivity. Their life, their history, all they knew was carving out giant slabs of rock and making bricks to serve Pharaoh. They had no choice what they did every day. They were slaves for hundreds of years. That's all they knew. That's all their daddy knew for generations back. And all of a sudden, God delivers them, all right, through signs and wonders. But in a short time, now this is before the 40 years, he brings them up to the promised land. He says, all right, go over and take a look-see. So they send in the spies. All of them came back with bad report except two, and that's Joshua and Caleb. But now let's see now. Oh, we just treat them terrible, you know. Let's see. What was their report? The circumstances look impossible. I know what God said, but have you seen these circumstances? Have you seen these giants that they got? Giants. And they're a warlike people. They've been trained for war. That they have all kinds of war weapons. We got sticks, rocks, whatever we brought out of Egypt, you know. We're not able to take this land. Boy, God was hard on them. God was hard on them. He says, I swore in my wrath. They're not going to possess the land. Only two. The two that had a good report. Why? What made them have a good report? Why did God say? See, everything the other bunch said was factual. There was giants in the land. It was a warlike people. I mean, these Israelites had to look like dirty slaves to them. You know, everything was factual, but God said it's an evil report. Why? Because it eliminated the God factor. They were only looking at their circumstances in the natural. Don't be so hard on them. When you ever have circumstances, you ever have a Goliath rise up in front of you like cancer or recession or bankruptcy or whatever it is. Circumstances rise up. Say, that's it. I want to kill you. How? Then what we look for is sympathy. Someone to be nice to us. Someone to pet our unbelief. And I like it too. That'll get you killed. God don't like it a little bit. So we're real hard on them because we've heard these stories so often. All right, this is Wednesday night, right? What kind of Goliath do you think it is standing over Tommy Perez? Who is this cerebral palsy giant who defies the armies of the living God? Who is this giant in the land who says, you have no power, I have dominion here, and your God has no dominion? Who is that? Well, I'm going to go have a latte and talk about it. I think I'm enrolling in another college because I need another degree after my name. What God's after is I ever going to have a group of people that are going to learn my ways, quit erring in their heart. We're not innocent of the same sin, people. We are not innocent. We better not be so hard on them till we're able to take on Goliath ourselves. Now, there'll be giants in the land, I'll guarantee you. We got a children's hospital full of them over here. And they are mocking our God, not the children, the diseases. There are no diseases from God. You got that? There are no diseases from Him. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of God. Oppressed of the devil. The devil's got a whole hospital full of our children. And they're mocking the living God. They're saying, you have no dominion here. We have dominion. You can't do a thing to rescue these kids. And I think God's had enough of it. And thankfully, I think we've about had enough of it. And the only reason is we've got the same problem. We're erring in our heart and we don't know His ways. That's it. So, well, I want revival real bad. They wanted the promised land real bad. If you'd have been a slave in Egypt your whole life, wouldn't you have liked to have lived in a land of milk and honey? So would they. God tells it real plain, like it is, because of their unbelief. They do not know my ways. It's another way of saying because of their unbelief. Unbelief, they do not know my ways. Well, let's keep going here just a little bit. Thank you. He says, I was grieved with that generation. And I said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest. In other words, they're not going to have the land. And they never did, that bunch. Only two that ever went in was Joshua and Caleb, the ones that held to what God said. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, in context, what that means is those that perished, it doesn't mean that they... What it means is they departed from what He said. He said, I have given you the land. They departed from that when they said, we be not able to take it. What'd Caleb say? He had a different spirit. It says, if God be for us, we're well able to take the land. Let us go up at once and possess it. And 40 years later, he was about 80-something on his birthday, if I remember right. And he says, give me that mountain. My strength is the same as it was 40 years ago. Give me that mountain. And he took it too. Okay, hallelujah. Settle down. Got to preach on me tonight instead of the teach. Isn't this good? He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. You better listen to what he's saying. What's his word saying? What is he saying? For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, the verse I want to emphasize, what we're going to teach on tonight, we're going to look at a little bit at his way. So look at verse 10 again. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. All right. We're going to talk about his ways. Go to Genesis 1. Is that early enough in the book for you? We'll start from the beginning. When you get to finish Revelations, you can be dismissed. No, anyway. Genesis 1. Look at verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now notice. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. All right? Now that's the first act that we have of God. The first, to Moses he revealed his ways. Israel, they saw his acts. We just saw an act. First time God moves in the book. Okay? All right, well, let's look at his ways here now. Here's the earth. It's without form and void. It's dark. God the Father is looking at this. Now get, I don't know if you're making notes or make them later. Now get this. What he sees is not what he wants. So let me say it another way. He's not pleased with the present circumstances. Let me say it another way. He wants something different than what he has. Let me say it another way. He's not happy with what is. You ever been there? Okay, relate to this, people. Now, I'll just go ahead and tell you now, so you probably already know this, but the devil never had a creative thought in his life, and he never will. The devil is a counterfeiter. Every new age, what they call the secret, most self-help books, they've taken God's ways and they've counterfeited them, they've perverted them, and they've manipulated it to where God's ways build your kingdom and not his. Before I became a Christian, remember I didn't get saved till I was 33, and I was in real estate and construction, and I always taught a lot. I was always interested in self-help, self-help type books. And I used to be an expert at them. I used to, probably the closest thing I had to a Bible before I got saved was Think and Grow Rich. And there's a lot of power in that book. You can change things a lot with the information there. And it's because of how God made man. And there's a lot of books like that, Psycho-Cybernetics and others that we could get into. But the problem with all of those is they take how God made man and how God is, but they pervert his ways to make you spend your whole life trying to use his ways to build your kingdom. Okay? We'll may come back to that later. But if you see certain things, well, I've heard that before, those are counterfeits of the truth. But here we're going to look at the purity of God's ways. You're okay? He has circumstances. There's darkness. He's not happy with that. He wants something different. What's his ways? What does he do? Well, God the Father, plainly, we know from reading this, what did he want? He wanted light. All right? But it says the Holy Spirit, who is also God, is he not? God the Holy Spirit is already on the earth. Now, I presume God the Father is in heaven. But the Holy Spirit, we're plainly told, he's brooding over the face of the earth here. Now, he's there. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing. Holy Spirit is God. He's all-powerful. Holy Spirit is omnipresent. So at the same instant, if you'll allow me, that God the Father goes, I want light, the Holy Spirit knows that. Because the Holy Spirit is God. Now, the Holy Spirit, the way I see it, he is the molecule changer. He's brooding there. He's got all power. I mean, he can make light in an instant. He knows what the Father wants. What did Jesus tell us to pray? Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, God in heaven has a will here. What does he want? Light. God the Holy Ghost is on the earth. He knows what the Father wants, but he ain't making no light. See, now religion will tell you, well, if it's God's will, he'll just heal you anyway. You got to watch that kind of stuff. That is not God's ways. God the Father wants light. Do you see light happening? No, the Holy Spirit is there. He's waiting. He's got all power. He's waiting on something. He doesn't move until something else happens. What is he waiting on? And it says, God said. Now, we know from John's Gospel, let me read it to you. You don't have to turn over there right now. John, in his Gospel, said it this way, if I can find it. Yes. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. No, not one single thing. Nothing was made without the second member of the Godhead, who is called the Word. Now, we're learning about God's ways. Holy Spirit has power. You reckon if the Holy Spirit released his power in your life right now, things would be different? You reckon he's with you? You reckon he's got the same amount of power he's always had? You reckon in an instant Tommy Perez could get out of the chair, be walking around? Sure. There's a problem here, see? He was able to make light at any instant. He was there, and he knows the will of the Father. He knows what the Father wants, but he's waiting on something. What is God's ways? The second member of the Godhead, who is the Word. God's will had to be spoken in faith, and only then did the Holy Spirit move. We have not known God's ways. God the Father conceives. He wants something different than what he has. Okay? He sees what he wants. See, Jesus, we're going to get to it in a minute. He says, the Son of himself can do nothing. Everything I do what I see my Father doing, basically, is what he's saying. So the Father still, he's the one conceiving. He's the one seeing things. Okay? God the Son here, he acts based on that. But the Holy Spirit has been anointed by that same Holy Ghost, the same Spirit of God that was brooding over the waters there. So when Jesus, he's our prototype, he's the one we're supposed to pattern ourselves after, when he knows the will of the Father, and then he speaks and acts in line with that, then the Holy Spirit is released to manifest the Father's will. And I don't care if it's blind eyes becoming whole. I don't care if it's a man born lame, birth defects from his mother's womb, instantly jumping and leaping and praising God. Don't tell me Tommy Perez can't jump up out of that chair and run around the building and go, hi, mama. Don't tell me our own Victoria. Born with a birth defect, that's all it is. Quit making it, it's just a little birth defect. It's nothing. I don't mean to minimize their warfare. They're heroes of mine. But I mean, don't tell me in an instant our God can't fix that. You kidding? God makes brains. We're real rough on that bunch at 40 years. Why? Because they faced impossible circumstances and believed their circumstances. Maybe I shouldn't have been so rough on them. How often have I done that? How often am I still doing it? When it comes to those kind of things. Well, we've got to learn God's ways. Go to Luke 17. We are kings and priests. Jesus is our prototype. He plainly said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do." We just already quoted Acts 10:38, how he did it. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God the Holy Spirit was with him. Let's see, we've been born of his Spirit, seated at the right hand of God in exactly the same position as him, given a name that's above every name, anointed by the same Holy Spirit that was hovering over the deep in Genesis 1. Yet we don't seem to be exercising just a whole lot of dominion. For most of us, a big part of Christianity, it's taken all the dominion we have to pay our bills at the end of the month. That is changing. We get a real clue right here. Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. It says, "When he was demanded of the Pharisees, they wanted to know when the kingdom of God should come. And he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, well, here it is, or lo, there it is. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" You're a king, and this kingdom of God, he said, is within you. Now, let me save you years. Footnote theology is deadly. And I had a footnote in one of my early Bibles. One of my early Bibles had a little footnote. Beware, most of them footnotes are written by people with PhD after their name, and it's scary stuff. And it'll rob you. I remember it, though, and at the time, I didn't know any better. And it says, well, we don't know if that... It's kind of like Dave says about that other deal. We don't know if that word means within you, or does it mean the kingdom of God is among you? Implying that it's... Well, what he was really saying is, I'm the king, I'm among you, and the kingdom of God is among you. It's not really a land where you can go visit, but it's because I'm here. And so the kingdom of God is among you. Which takes away a lot of the power if you're trying to believe God for dominion, see? But for years I struggled with that thought because I read that little footnote. Finally, I looked it up one day. That word within is the Greek word entos. E-N-T-O-S. You know how if you ever look up these Greek words, a lot of times they'll have like 16 possible meanings. This one has one. It means inside. I wish I could find that footnote guy and smack him in love, you know. I'm going to smack him. Good Lord. It doesn't even mean anything else. So let's say it that way. The kingdom of God is inside you. Now, what in the world does that mean? The kingdom of God is inside me. Well, now, he's made me a king, and I have a domain. And he's saying the kingdom of... Oh, let me save you for one other footnote theology before I forget it. I have read whole books years ago. I don't do this anymore. Years ago. How many of you know that theologians will make a great distinction between the kingdom of God in the kingdom of heaven? There's whole books. I'm not kidding you. There is whole books about the difference. One day I was doing a simple little Bible search with my little computer, and I just typed in kingdom of heaven in the New Testament. It's only ever found, ever, in the book of Matthew. And it's the same stories where everybody else said kingdom of God. He just preferred the phrase, kingdom of heaven. It don't mean nothing different. Matthew was the only one. You look it up for yourself. Just do Kingdom of Heaven, New Testament. The only place you'll find it is the book of Matthew. But those are the same stories that Mark wrote about and Luke wrote about. And John, same incidents. For crying out loud. Whole books. I'm telling you, beware the PhDs. Post-hole diggers. Piled high and deep. Whatever you want to call it. I don't know. And I'm not really against education, but I'm telling you, it's scary stuff. You know? So there is a... Okay, let's summarize what we've learned so far. Number one, we are kings. Did you get that? Who made us? Who made you a king? It says he has made us kings and priests. All right? Kings have a dominion. Well, apparently, our dominion starts within us. Let's say it a different way. Inside us. You have a dominion. Now, let me think here for a minute. Because Jesus said, I want you to pray this way. When they came and asked him to pray, part of that prayer, now we could go through all the other parts, you know, about, you know, hallowed be thy name, you're the only one, and all of that. But the part we want to focus on is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth, just as it is in heaven. That part. First off, there's no reason to pray that prayer if his will is already being done. And religion will go that far. They'll tell you, well, that cancer's from God. He's trying to teach you something. You little, you know, you, whatever your business. He bankrupted your business. He's trying to teach you something. Put you flat on your back so all you could do was look up. For crying out loud. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what the Father's like? Find out what Jesus does. Find out what Jesus does. I don't ever see Jesus going around. His will for you. Now let me see. Is it leprosy? No. Cancer? No. Oh, it's rheumatoid arthritis for you. Yeah, that's his will. Can you imagine anything more heinous? And yet that's what religion will have you believe in. They don't come at it head first like that. But if you hang around it long enough, you'll think, well, maybe it just might be the will of God, you know. That's why they always have to add that prayer when they're praying for the sick. If it be thy will. This kingdom that we have, we are kings, and there is a dominion. That dominion starts inside us. There is a dominion inside us. Go to Mark 11:23. And it's interesting, this starts off in 22, have faith in God. For tonight's lesson, you could put, know his ways. Know his ways. Understand. Have some faith. Let's go to verse 24 first. I think it'll help illustrate better. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you shall have them. When do you believe you receive it? When you pray. Now I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say it a little different. Where do you believe you receive it? You receive it into the dominion of the kingdom that is within you. See, you're the one that's on earth. Jesus is our prototype. All of those people that got healed in his meetings, if he had not been there, if he had not come, what would have happened to them? They would have stayed sick. Why? Was it not God's will? I mean, he didn't do anything that wasn't the will of the Father. No, but Jesus understood God's ways. Jesus understood how this dominion works. And he became a conduit, if you'll allow me. His spirit became a conduit between heaven and earth. When he would pray, he would receive it into the dominion of his kingdom. Then when he would speak, the Holy Spirit was free to manifest it in the earth. It's how God's will comes from heaven to earth. It's by the kingdom that is, I want to say, inside you. You carry you have a portable dominion. It goes where you go. Like Jesus, it went where he went. He would come into a city I've done it before. I've shown you verse after verse where it says, and he healed them all. Time after time, he healed them all. If he had not come or sent his disciples with that anointing, those same people would have stayed sick. And did Jesus do anything that wasn't the will of the Father? It's a portable kingdom, if you'll allow me. It's dominion that goes where you go. And you're designed to be a conduit from heaven to earth. Where God's power, his will in heaven, is made manifest on planet earth because you're there. In the name of Jesus. Now, we're not making us out to be something, but we are something. We're kings. And it's time for us to quit saying there's giants in the land. I think we're as guilty as the first bunch. Thank God we got the blood on the mercy seat and they didn't have that. Believing you receive when you pray means you receive it in the kingdom within you. By receiving it that way, you have moved it from the natural realm to the supernatural realm. The kingdom is within you. Our dominion is exercised by our reborn spirit man. Through the prayer of faith, we take a natural problem, pray to our supernatural Father, receive the answer by our spirit into the kingdom that is within us, and then it is manifested back into the natural. By prayer, we move the problem from the natural jurisdiction to the jurisdiction of the Father's kingdom. I want to say it another way. You remember, I used to tell you all the time when I'd make a prayer of faith now, whatever it was. It could be for anything as natural. When you have no money and you need stuff and you're not allowed to ask people for stuff or beg for stuff, and you're not allowed to go work for the stuff. I'd prefer, that's the way I would know, but he just teaching me. Well, I didn't know how else to do it except by the prayer of petition. So we need a computer, or we'd need a printer, or we'd need milk. Something. In the early days. Well, I'd make a petition. I'd write it out. I knew that much. Make your request known unto God. So I'd write it out. I'd date it. I would pray that prayer then, whatever it was. Father, I'm asking you for a jug of milk. Let's say a computer. I didn't hardly do the milk thing. I need a computer. I'm asking you today, whatever day it is, at this time of day, I believe that you hear me right now. I believe I receive it. I'm never going to ask you about it again because I know you heard me and you answered it now. I receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you. Hallelujah. Walk away just as empty-handed as I was before the prayer. But I had received it. Because it says, believe you receive it when you pray. And also, I made up my mind I wasn't going to be getting nobody to agree with me now except Sue. But, I mean, there's a panhandling that goes on by that agreement stuff a lot of times. You go to your rich brother that has some money, you know, and say, would you agree with me in prayer that I've been believing God for a computer, you know. You know, we weren't going to play no games like that. I remember one of the early ones I did, we needed a printer. We had one, but I had to put it in the shop, and then we were shut down. I thought you just take it to the shop and wait while they fixed it. They go, that'll be 2 weeks. And I go, what? So I knew I needed another one. So I remember praying that prayer sometime early in the morning, something like 6:30 or 7, wrote it out. I could go find it. I've still got all those. Early in the morning, and Father, I remember adding this little part. I said, Father, because the other one I had was a dot matrix. Now, you youngsters probably don't even know what a dot matrix printer is. I said, Father, this time, could I have a laser one? I'm asking you for a laser printer. Just a black and white one. Doesn't have to be color. Just black and white. Humble, you know. So I prayed that prayer in the morning. Nobody knew about, I don't even remember telling Sue about that one. I don't know if I did or not. I don't think so. About 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there's a knock on my door. Knock, knock, knock. I go to the door and there's a man standing there with some kind of piece of equipment under his arm. It's heavy. It's kind of leaned over like this. What's that? He says, this is yours. God said you needed it. What is it? It's a laser printer. We've had it refurbished. It's just like brand new. God says it belongs to you. I said, it does too. Bring it right in here. Now see, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but when you pray in the morning about 7 and the laser printer comes about 2 o'clock and you didn't tell nobody, you figure, God heard me. This dominion stuff works. And what you got to be careful of right there is that you don't start building your own kingdom. I need 5 cars, thank you very much, and Olympic-sized swimming pool, maybe a new wife. And I'm exaggerating. Okay, I'm making it up on, you know, I'm going crazy here. But that's what people do. Don't tell me they don't do that. In the early days, I would do those petition prayers. That's how I cut my teeth on that. And it worked. Now, what he's trying to do now is graduate us from laser printers to cerebral palsy. Because the same God answers both those prayers. He's trying to raise us up now to be giant killers. And take this city for his kingdom, which is just the first city. But I remembered that, how that worked. I learned a little bit about dominion in those early days. So now with that ring binder in mind, those formal petitions, I want to read you some notes from yesteryear, long time ago. Make a formal petition. Sign it. Put the date on it. If you don't learn to receive by faith, it's not coming into the realm of manifestation. Believe you receive when you pray. Who are you receiving it from? Your Father. Where are you receiving it? You are receiving it into the kingdom of God that's on the inside of you. God has to transfer the domain of that request. He places it, deposits it, when he answers, this is how he answers it, into the kingdom of God within you. When you pray, God deposits it, and it is all done by faith. You are a king, you have a domain. When you pray, you are granted dominion over the answer. Did you hear that? You are granted dominion over the answer, and it moves within your domain as a king. The enemy will come immediately to steal it from your heart, the domain of your spirit. That's why you have to doubt not in your heart. Your heart, your spirit, is the part of you that has dominion. And you have the right to exercise dominion in your domain. I'll take it one step further than that. You've been assigned by God to exercise dominion in your domain. In the same way that Adam was assigned to tend and to keep God's garden. If you look that Hebrew word up, keep, Hebrew words carry pictures. That one carries the picture of a thorn bush. It's where they used to use the word keep for prisons. The Thulean keep, they called it. It's a prison. The picture is a hedge of thorns. Adam's job was not only to tend the garden, he was to protect the garden. Like a hedge of thorns around it to keep out the enemy. And that's why I finally saw it one day. Really, his first sin was silence. He was standing right there while the devil was talking to his wife. He had authority from God to keep the serpent out of his garden. If he would have spoken and used his dominion and said, get out! Boy, the Holy Spirit would have cast that thing out. He had dominion, didn't use it. I'm afraid I don't want that to be on my tombstone. At the end of my life, God say, I gave him dominion. I gave the prayer center dominion. They didn't use it. Because they didn't know my ways. Right? Your heart, your spirit is the part of you that has dominion, and you have a right, I'd say a responsibility, to exercise dominion in your domain. We receive the answer from our Father as a deposit within our spirit. And it is our responsibility to hold that deposit. Now the devil's going to, circumstances are going to come to make it look opposite to what you're believing. Always. I've never seen that fail. I mean, he's going to try and steal that out of your heart. And how he'll win is when you change your confession. Remember the power of the Holy Spirit? Remember God's ways? What was the Holy Spirit waiting on? That spoken word, but it's a word spoken in faith now. Word spoken in faith, and the devil is after your mouth. He's trying to bring circumstances to change what you see to where you make the same mistake that the children of Israel do, where you err in your heart the same way they did, and you're moved by your circumstances and go, "We be not able. He didn't hear me. I don't have my answer. Surely I have to die now." Or Tommy will never get out of the chair, or whatever it is that you're standing for. Y'all getting anything out of this? You relating to this? We're not going to be a generation that continues to err in our hearts and not know His ways. I'm telling you right now, the fiery darts are aimed at your mouth. When you change your mouth is when the victory is lost. On that battle, doesn't mean you can't come back and fight again another day. You can. How do you know that? Going on. Been there too many times to even talk about. We receive the answer from our Father as a deposit within our spirit. It is our responsibility to hold that deposit. Now get this, see if this sounds familiar. Be pregnant with it. Be pregnant with it. Sunday at 8:30, Mark had Mitzi come up, who is, we would say in Shawnee, that girl's ready to domino. She's right near the birth here now. I mean, at any time, you know, she is pregnant to the pregnancy level. She's ready to deliver. So he had her come up here on stage and go, "Now, what are you thinking about? You know, what's on your mind?" And she's standing there, you know, if she relaxes, she'll just fall over on her face. She's so big, you know. And just, I mean, she can't even stand straight without thinking about that baby. It's trying to pull her over on her face. Well, you're thinking about the baby, and that's all you're thinking about. What's the baby going to need, and what do we need to do, and is the house ready, and do I have my bag packed, and is there gas in the car, and at any moment we got to go. I mean, you're consumed with it. When are we going to get like that with the dominion we have? Where it's in us, like a pregnant person. You can't think about anything else. You're not concerned about anything else. Nothing else matters but the delivery of the deposit that God has placed on the inside of me. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done in the earth. I'm consumed with it like a pregnant person. Now you have to keep guard over your heart, or the enemy will steal God's deposit. A pregnant woman wants to nurture and protect her baby. She's very careful what she eats and drinks. She's careful regarding what activities she gets involved in. Boy, when you're standing in faith, you got to be careful what you eat. Understand what I'm saying? You can't be hanging around unbelief. Now, maybe if you get as accomplished as Jesus, you can put on somebody's ear in the middle of a sword fight. But I'm telling you, when I was fighting, when I was standing for my life, when they'd given me a diagnosis of cancer, 6 months to live, I didn't even let our close friends know. I couldn't. They love us, and they would have agreed in prayer with us. And while they're with us, I know it would have been fine, you know. But I also know how people are. And they get together with other people and say, "Oh, isn't it terrible what's happened to that Gary?" And that's the last thing I need. And I don't need to be around people that talk that way. Some of them got really mad at us because we didn't let them know until after the victory was won. But I'd rather they be mad than I be alive. You know, they forgave us in time. They, you know, we're still friends. You know, but you got to live for that to happen. Well, we're not going to finish tonight now. Where can I end this tonight, Lord? Let me read this. Loosing now, see. You got to receive it first into the kingdom, but that's only part of it. Then you got to be pregnant with it. You got to walk with it. I mean, it has to become. There's a phrase we're going to do in a future one. You know what faith does? Faith causes you to live your future before you're there. Well, fear does that. Fear does that. Fear will put you in a coffin before you're dead. I know that to be a fact, too. I kept having to fight that vision on the inside of me when I was standing. I mean, I'm trying to do all I know to believe for my health. But, well, if I relax just a little bit, I'd find myself drifting over there as to what kind of funeral arrangements. Trying to put me in a coffin before I'm there. Real faith, when your dominion is exercised on the inside of you, you're living your future before you're actually there. You've already received it. Now, nobody else maybe can see it, but you can see it, and you're living it on the inside of you. Pretty soon, everybody will be able to see it. Hallelujah. Say this with me. I am not going to err in my heart. I am determined to be a person who knows God's ways. I am a king. I am a priest. Jesus has made me both. And I declare ahead of time, by faith, the dominion my God has given me will bring His will to pass on planet Earth. To be continued. Hallelujah. You don't have to say that part. Did y'all get anything out of that? Hallelujah. It's just a good start now. Just a good start. Give the Lord a hand. It's His word. Hallelujah. Well, more to come. I'm telling you, the days of giants in the land reigning like we have no God is over. You hear that? Father, help us on this journey. Father, we're asking for your help. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for the teacher that you placed on the inside of us, Father. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who's come to lead and guide us into all truth. Father, have your way with us. Thank you for your spirit. And that we'll walk into the fullness of the dominion you've given us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.